Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, hello, everyone. As you know, we have extended the no in-person services for this Sunday. That's the reason you're getting a pre-recorded message today. The elders and the pastoral leadership has evaluated and looked at all the data that we have in the community from COVID. And we see that there's a huge increase of cases, and we felt like it was the best to forego having in-person services today, and hopefully we will be back in full service next Sunday, but we will see. We will reassess this week as we look at it again, but just a little bit of information for you. Last month in this county, we had, or 8 weeks ago, starting 8 weeks ago, we had 129 cases. In the last 4 weeks, we've had 746. So you can see the huge increase in cases. As a matter of fact, 10 weeks ago, that last week in June, 10 weeks ago, we had 3 cases the whole week. And this past week, we had close to 300. And that's all in this county. So we, as the leadership team, felt like it was best to forego in-person services until we see that the numbers are going down and you are safe coming into the sanctuary together and meeting together. But I want to open up in prayer first before I get into the message. I really feel like the message God has given me is one that will encourage you today through all that we're going through. But I want us to pray for those that are sick. We have several members of our church, and I know there's several members of other churches as well that have COVID and struggling. Some are in the hospital even now. But I want to pray for them, and I want you to pray with me. And we also want to take time to pray for the Americans and the Christians who are left in Afghanistan, and some are hiding for their lives. So let's just pause for a moment of prayer, and let's pray together. Father, we thank you for being who you are to us, our God. You are everything to us. You are the one who is in charge, and Lord, you have given us life, and you've given us your life. And we come to you now in intercession, and we come to the throne of grace because there is a huge time of need for the people that are sick. We ask you, Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, who paid the payment for our healing through the stripes that he took on his body. We ask you now in Jesus' name to begin to touch these, raise them up, and Lord, let their lungs be clear, let their bodies be clear of this COVID virus. And we ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to accelerate the healing. Accelerate the healing as only you can do. We thank you for the doctors, the hospitals, and the medication and supplements. We thank you for all of that. But Lord, you are our ultimate healer. So we ask you now in Jesus' name to touch those. And Lord, rid this nation of this awful virus. Lord, we know that you can. So we ask you in Jesus' name to bring healing, bring comfort, and bring strength to everyone who has it. And Lord, we pause just for a moment as well to lift up the Christians and the Americans that are in Afghanistan and the Afghanistan people. And we ask you, Father, to work your work as only you can do in the midst of chaos, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of hardships. Lord, there's Christians that are hiding for their lives, and we ask you for your protection, your covering. And we ask you, Father, that there would be a revival that would come about in Afghanistan, that your presence would be made known, and that your presence would be honored. And Lord, we just love you. We know that all the circumstances that we go through, Lord, you said that everyone who loves God and called according to his purpose, everything that happens to us, you work it to our good. And we thank you for that. And we love you, and we ask your blessings upon this message and this service today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, today we're going to speak to you a little bit about the situation that we're in and what is the answer. We're facing crisis today on multiple fronts, facing chaos on multiple fronts as well. We have a crisis in our health with this COVID thing and the virus that's going on. Do we have health hazards all around? We have a crisis in finances. We have a crisis in our education center. And we have a crisis in our economy, in our marketplace, in our homes. We have chaos and crisis. There is increased substance abuse. There is increased suicides that is happening. There is super inflation. Things are just going up astronomically. We have a declining moral culture. We have liberties and freedoms that are being lost. We have an increase of violence and crime. We have an increase of injustice. We have lawlessness without consequences. We have an increase of offenses without reconciliation. We have opinions that are being held higher than the Word of God. We have an attack on the people who speak the truth. We have uncertainty. We have confusion. And there's fear and dismay as the chaos swells on every side. We look for the answers. We look to try to fix it. And we know that government is not the answer. Government has created a lot of it. We know that philosophy is not the answer, and we know that the world has no answers. As a matter of fact, when he talked about the thing about philosophy and traditions, the Bible tells us over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul actually says, see to it. Make sure that you do this. See to it. Make sure that you do this. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the traditions or the opinions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. See, Paul understood that there's a lot of things going on, a lot of things were happening to the Christians, and a lot of things are happening to Christians today and God's people. A lot of things are happening to the USA, all over the world. A lot of things are happening. And God's instructions through Paul, being led by the Holy Spirit, he said, you need to see to it. You need to endeavor not to be held captive by philosophy and by empty deception and by the opinions and the traditions of men and according to the principles of the world. See, the world has its own principles. The world has its own answers that really are not the right answers. They're not the true answers. But we can look at it. We can look for it. We can hunt it. We can search for it. But all in all, they're not the answer, including the government. Thank God for the United States government, and we need to continue to pray for our government, our leaders, and that God speaks to their heart and touches their heart and fills their heart with His presence. But I want to introduce to you a thought that I know that many of you have already thought it. It's not profound. It's not anything new. But God introduced Himself to Abram in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. He introduced Himself this way. The Bible says, Genesis 17, 1, and when Abram was 90 years and 9, he was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram. And this is what, after he revealed Himself to him, He appeared to him, and this is what He had to say. And I want you to hear this because I think it's very pertinent to today. He said this to Abram, I am the Almighty God. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. So in this, we see that this is at the beginning of God's beginning to make a covenant with Abram and going to change his name to Abraham. And he's making a going to make a covenant with him. So he desires covenant relationship. He desires a relationship that is with him and he with us. But he introduces himself to Abram and he says this, I am the Almighty God. That is the first time that this Hebrew word, El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the All-Sufficient One, is the first time he revealed himself that way in the Scriptures. And we need to see him as that. He is the Almighty God. In the light of all the things that we read that is going on, all the things that we're going through, all the things that we feel, all the things that we feel the pressure from, everything that we have that's going on in our lives, he introduces himself to Abram. He introduces himself to us, and he's saying this, I am Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. I am the All-Sufficient One. And another meaning of that word is, and this is sort of like the title of the message, I am more than enough. God is more than enough. No matter what you're going through, God is more than enough. No, he's not just enough. He is more than enough. He is all-sufficient. There is no lack in him. And everything that he brings of himself, he makes available for you and I. And he uses the things that's going on in society to bring it to our good as his followers, to bring it to our good. He's increasing our faith. He's causing us to cry out more to him. He's causing us to depend more upon him. And we have this situation, but we have the answer, not a answer. We have the answer, and he says, I am Almighty God. I am more than enough. One part of that word is taken from the word that stands for a mountain. You know, so he's saying, I am a mountain. I am a mountain. There's a passage I want to read to you about where that word mountain means to be strong with power. So he is strong in power. There's nothing too difficult for him, as you know. And so there's a passage that talks about a mountain and it talks about the last days, and I want to reveal that to you. It's in Micah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And I will read it to you. Get your Bibles and follow along. But he says, it shall come about in the last days. So here we are in Micah, and it's also found in Isaiah, that he's talking about last days. Now, we are in part of the last days. We've entered into it. We've been in it for a while, and it's accelerating. The last days are accelerating. But it says this, it shall come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord, very crucial here, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. So he says, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains, and it will be raised up above the hills, and the peoples, the congregation, the peoples will stream to it. Now this is a stream that goes uphill, not downhill. And they will stream to it. Matter of fact, that word stream actually means to sparkle. In other words, his people will be sparkling. How are you going to be sparkling? Because of the light of his presence. So we will sparkle up that mountain. You know, because he says, and many nations, see, he talks about the peoples, he talks about his people, will sparkle, will be going up to this established mountain. And we'll get into that in just a moment. Then he says in verse 2, the many nation and many nations will come and say. Now this is what many nations of people will be coming to this mountain. And they'll be saying, they'll be exhorting, and they'll be exhorting us and other people, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And so they're saying, take us that way. Let's go to this place. Let's go to his presence. Let's go to what he's established as his mountain. He said, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of God of Jacob, that he may teach us about his ways and that we may walk in his paths. So the desire is to know and be taught the ways of God, because there's a realization coming that the world doesn't have the answers. The government doesn't have the answers. Philosophy doesn't have the answers. Tradition doesn't have the answers. Opinions doesn't have the answers. But there is coming a time when the established mountain of God will have the answers. We'll be giving the answers. And we'll be showing and we'll be teaching. But as they say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of God of Jacob, and he may teach us, that he may teach us his ways. See, there's going to be a hunger to know the ways of God. See, right now there's this anti-religion, anti-Christian way. Yeah, and Christianity is looked down upon. Following the Lord is looked down upon. It's criticized. It's ridiculed. And most of society don't want to hear it. And that's the reason we have a decline in the truth being known, because they have closed their ears to it. And they intend to close our voices to it. You know, but we're not going to do that. But this thing about the mountain of the house, this is the church being established. This is the church coming to a place that it's no longer wandering around trying to figure out what is it that we need to do. This is the church. He said, in the last days, this is going to happen, he said. He said, the mountain of the house of the Lord is going to be established. That word established means to be set firmly and to be adequately equipped to deliver what needs to be delivered. To be set firmly and to be adequately equipped to deliver what needs to be delivered. And he says, that mountain, which is the church, will be established as the highest mountain than all the other mountains. All the other things that have risen up to say, this is the way to go. This is the way to do it. We're redefining marriage. We're redefining this. This is the way you do it. You know, we're redefining how we don't offend each other. You know, but I'm telling you, the truth will offend people. The truth will offend people. But we can't be afraid of telling people the truth. Jesus let the truth out, spoke the truth, and he said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. See, he says, the ones that wants to hear the truth, they'll hear it. The ones that don't want to hear it, they'll shut it off. They'll cut it off. They won't listen to it. So this is about the church taking a stand. This is about the church being jetted up above all the other things that looked like they were supreme, looked like this is the way it needs to go. This is the way we need to do it. We need to make sure we follow these things of the world. We need to make sure we follow these things of opinions. But the church will stand up and they will take the stand, not just in anything. The church cannot just stand on anything. The church has to stand on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, the truth. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. And this church that Jesus is building, and just because you have a congregation doesn't mean we have a church that Jesus is building. The church that Jesus is building, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Think about that. The very gates of hell cannot withstand this church that Jesus is building. And this church is going to rise up. This church is going to be established. This church is going to be seen by all nations. And they're going to come to it. They're going to want the answers. They're going to want what God has to give them. And they're going to desire to hear God's ways being taught to them. That's what the Bible says. I believe it. You know, God is more than enough. It may look bleak. It may look dark. It may look a lot of things. Looks like we're in despair. But God is more than enough. This church won't back down, it won't back up, and it will oppose everything that rises up against truth. It will oppose it, and it will stand strong. So in this passage, you'll look that his presence is known in this mountain, and we acknowledge his presence in this house. And his presence is being revealed and being shown. And that's just like at the earlier passage that we talked, that God came and revealed himself to Abram. He revealed himself. And we want God to show himself and reveal himself anytime, every time. And this church will also oppose hell. It will oppose the gates of hell. This church, not talking about just this, but the church that he's talking about here, rising up, being jetted up, and being seen by all these other powers, all these other things that says they are the answer, they will see that this is the one true God. This is God's way, and they will want to know his way, and they will have a desire to walk in his path. So we have a promise of his revelation. He pledges to us that he'll have revelations for us as we go to him. And he will accept us as we come, and he'll protect us, and he'll give us favor. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says this, and I'm going to be reading out of the Passion Translation here. But I want you to hear this. Yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough. More than enough of what? More than enough of everything, it says. In every moment, in every way. He's more than enough in everything, every moment. And every way, in every way. And it also says that he will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing that you do. So I want you to know that this El Shaddai is the one who is abundant, who pours out. Another meaning of that word is the one who pours out. The one who pours out the abundance of what we need, the abundance of what we're looking for. The abundance of who he is, the abundance of his truth, the abundance of his word, the abundance of the Spirit, the abundance of our gifts, the abundance of our activating and walking in this established thing that God is doing in our midst. Think it not strange that you go through these trials. Don't think it strange that this is happening and that we're going through difficulties. Don't think it strange. We need to understand that we need to count it all joy. The end result is for us to become the fullness of who he is. The fullness of who he is to a world who does not know him. In the midst of what we're going through, in the midst of the pain and the agony and the sickness and things that we go through and we feel and we see, in the midst of all that, he said, I will overwhelm you with every form of grace. And I will give you more than enough because I am more than enough of everything in every moment, in every way, and I will make it overflow with abundance to you. So he is the one who pours out. So when you look at this, and you can say it with me as I talk about these things, he says your health, he is more than enough. Your family, he is more than enough. Your children, he is more than enough. Your finances, he is more than enough. Your deliverance, he is more than enough. Your healing, he is more than enough. Your provision, he is more than enough. During trials, he is more than enough. During difficulties, he is more than enough. During sickness, he is more than enough. During hardships, he is more than enough. During times of loss, he is more than enough. During struggles, he is more than enough. During uncertainty, he is more than enough. During disappointments, he is more than enough. During confusion, he is more than enough. During COVID, he is more than enough. During the shaking, he is more than enough. During the opposition, he is more than enough. During persecution, he is more than enough. In every situation, what is it? He is more than enough. God is more than enough. We need to be encouraged with that. I know we sing a song here sometimes, and it says, it goes like this: "Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord. You never let go of me. You never let go of me." He is more than enough. There's another one that we sing here that I really enjoy as well. He said, he says, "You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you." Sing it with me. "I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. That is who you are." He is more than enough. Isaiah 43 says this in verse 1. It says, "But now, thus saith the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, now saith the Lord, your creator, he who has formed you, do not fear." He's saying this to you and I. "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." God is more than enough. We don't barely get by. We're not even survivors. We're overcomers. Why? He is the overcomer. He has made us more than conquerors in the things that we go through in Christ Jesus. And that's what we have to look at today. So when the going gets rough, God is more than enough. Say that with me. When the going gets rough, God is more than enough. When the going gets rough, God is more than enough. Here's another thing that I wrote down today, this week. When you have nothing left but God, you have more than enough left. When you have nothing left but God, you have more than enough left. And that is the truth. He'll always be more than enough. He always will be. And he's going to be that in our entire lives. Ephesians chapter 3 says this, and we're about to close. It says this: "Now to him," this is out of the Amplified, "now to him who by, in consequence of the action of his own power that is at work within you, he is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare to ask, all that we dare to think. And he infinitely does this beyond our highest prayers, our desires, our thoughts, our hopes, and our dreams." This is a God. This is El Shaddai. He's more than enough. He's provided everything that we need through the abundance of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. This same passage in the Passion Translation says this: "Never doubt God's ability and his mighty power to work in you to accomplish all that you need to accomplish. Never doubt it. He will achieve more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream. He will exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all. For his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Let me tell you that God's provision never runs short, never runs dry, never runs out, and never stops running. God's provision will always be in abundance. It will always overflow and will always be more than enough. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 through 9 says this, "For God who said," this is God who said, "let brilliant light shine out of the darkness. He is the one who has cascaded his life into us, the brilliant dawning light of the glorious knowledge of God, as we gaze into the face of Jesus Christ. We are like common clay jars that carry his glorious treasure within us, so that this immeasurable power will be seen as God's and not ours. Though we experience every kind of pressure, we are not crushed. Though we experience times where we do not know what to do, quitting is not an option. Though we are persecuted by others, God has not forsaken us. We may be knocked down, but we are never out." Why is that? Our God is more than enough. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again asking you to quicken us with amazing thoughts of who you are. And Lord, let us realign our faith and realign our living, realign our walk with you in a way that represents you no matter what we go through. Our position and our declaration and our proclamation and our belief is you are more than enough. For all those that are struggling with this COVID, God is more than enough. So continue to say that. Continue to stand on that. Continue to walk in that. Proclaim it. He is the healer. We are not survivors. We're overcomers. We thank you, Father, for your love, your mercy, and your power, and for taking care of us. And Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name to seal this prayer, seal this message with your Spirit, that we would grow in it and grow from it and be able to tell the world of how good and amazing our God truly is. In Jesus' name. Thank you. And God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard Podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.